Well, it's the first time I played Duane Eddy and Rebel Rouser this year. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this, the day after January 1st, therefore the 2nd of January, and a brand new year, 2019. I wonder how often you'll make out checks or paperwork and put down 2018. I go way back. I start putting down 1900 and, boy, I'll tell you what. Hey, Fran, when should you... I almost blew it there.
Right.
Got to start it over again. Hey, Fran Winschuttle is in my studio, and Fran, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN.
Well, thank you, Wayne. I appreciate you inviting me to talk this morning.
Yeah, it's been, by comparison, the day is cold and clear, and when I invited you to join me on the air, it was a beautiful, warm, balmy night. Downtown Northfield, relaxing on a Friday, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yes.
You and a couple of buddies, Paul Bowmaster and, don't tell me, Tuma?
John Tuma,
Big
yes.
Big Tall Tom?
Yes.
Okay, so I invited all three of them to join me on the air, and Paul, it's really funny, when I was working on Paul, he had a full menu, and so I said, well, let's put it together, and he put down November something, and I thought, that's a long time. November, it was like in June that we bumped into
yes.
each other, and all of a sudden it was November, and there he was, and I had your name on a piece of paper, and I said, wow, I got you and, of course, your other friend, Tuma, to talk to, and I was surprised and very pleased that you agreed to come the day after New Year's Day, so thank you for coming.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, sorry I didn't make it in November. We were traveling to Machu Picchu in Peru at that point, so we weren't able to go do the show in November.
Is that the one where you have to climb all kinds of mountains and steps and to get to?
They have various options. You can do a 4-day hike or a 2-day hike up to the citadel up in the mountains, or you can just take a bus up there.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah, so that's what we opted to do.
Oh, you opted for the bus. Well, you know, that's exactly what I would do too. But there are people that do take that. What do they do in the 4-day trip? Do they look at nature? Or
There's a lot of different trails that go past different Incan ruins.
Okay.
And so they camp, and it's a lot of, altitude climbing, these mountains to get to the site. That would be interesting. I'd like to do that maybe someday, too.
My guest friend, Winschuttle, is the former money man when it came to Rice County and taxes and collections and a lot of other things that are on that particular description that I missed. But I go through this on a kind of a chronological basis in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to stick around with last November because I'd like to learn more about that. I have taken the trip myself, but I was in the comfort of my living room and watched it on TV. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of comparing it to the people that do mountain climbing, to the peaks of Kilimanjaro or what other mountain, McKinley and all that. And people die, and it's dangerous and scary and exhilarating and all that. But you took the bus. But have there been people that die trying to take the 4-day hike, for example, or the 2-day hike?
That I'm not sure of. I would imagine the altitude may have had some effect on some people, but I've not heard of. Usually they have a lot of organized tours that take people up, mm-hmm. the mountain, and you have to book with those tours. And you have to have a guide when you're at the Citadel. So I think they have a structure so that it it makes it a safe trip for people.
Well, one fellow was in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And I think he was suffering from MS, and his friends and family knew that one of the things was on his bucket list, that was on his bucket list, was going up there. And so they took him up. Uh-huh. And it was quite a chore to get him through the various formations of mountainous rocks, etc. But, you know, when they got up there, it was a thrill. Another thing, when I see television programs about mountain climbing, and they have different levels that they stop at before they go to the top, and it becomes like a huge city almost, with all the tents and equipment and guides, etc. And it can be somewhat commercial in regards to the fact that they have so many people, and they have so much trash, and they have so many tents up and all that. Was it commercial when you went up there in a bus, or was it a holy place?
Yeah, it was very commercial. Yeah, there were a number of buses that were going from the Machu Picchu Pueblo or Agua Calientes. It's a small city at the base of the mountain. The elevation of Machu Picchu was right around 8,000 feet. So there were a number of buses that were coming out of that small pueblo and doing switchback roads to get to the top of the mountain. So it was quite interesting. We also went to Cusco, which was the center of the Incan Empire, and that was quite the experience, and they have a lot of interesting museums and artifacts of the Inca Empire there.
Well, let's get we'll go to Cusco, okay. But first let's go to that
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu. Were there, like, Coke machines outside?
Yes.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah.
So where does it become?
They allow up to 5,000 people per day visit the site up there. So you can imagine 5,000 people. That's a lot of people going.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you have to have a guide.
You have to have a guide, right.
Which is good for the economy for the people there.
Yes.
So when does it get holy and sanctifying?
It certainly is... considerably higher. The view is just magnificent. You can see all the mountain spires around the citadel there, and it is quite inspiring and can be spiritual, I guess. It was a very unique experience.
Well, what is the purpose of that place?
The purpose was, I think, the nobles of the Incan Empire would reside there, and they built it for, the higher class Incans.
Could you go into places, into a room, into a chapel, anything?
Sure, yes. You could go into different areas of the citadel and walk around, and they had quite a few people that were maintaining the grounds, and the grounds were maintained very pristinely. They had llamas and alpaca roaming the grounds, which was kind of interesting.
And did they try to sell you alpaca sweaters?
I didn't see too many vendors there, but in the Machu Picchu Pueblo or Agua Calientes, there were quite a few vendors there.
I was talking about Machu Picchu. That's the place that you described then, that it wasn't that holy.
It was an old Incan ruin site.
Was there like a big Inca carved into the wall or independent like you see in other ancient history?
I don't recall seeing any statues or anything like that. It was pretty much just the outside foundation walls of the complex up there. And it was quite extensive. It was kind of amazing how the construction of that could be accomplished way up in the mountains.
Was it huge or?
It was a good sized area up there. I would say it's probably maybe eight or nine football fields.
Okay, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Did they have any maps or a tourist guide to talk about how they got water up there?
Yes, they talked a little bit about that, and a lot of it was, from the mountains and springs that were, in the
mountains. Well, the ingenuity of getting it to flow and
right.
Okay.
Take away the,
How about toilets, both then and now?
Yeah, I'm not sure on how that
okay.
worked.
Well,
exactly.
The reason I asked that, they showed mm-hmm. toilets like in the Roman Empire,
yes.
and
they
how,
had
how
sewage
that worked.
Systems, yes. Yeah. I'm not sure how that
so
worked.
So then tell me about, did you say Pueblo?
Pueblo, yeah.
That was what is that? I just think of a
Caliente. It's a city. It's a small city that is at the base of Machu Picchu. So it was about a 3-mile journey up the mountain from that Pueblo to get to the Machu Picchu. That was one way to get there. There are other hikes that you could take from from further out.
What was the difference? You were at 8,000, then did you go up to 10,000?
And then Cusco is actually at 11,000.
11.
So there was more altitude in Cusco than there was in Machu Picchu.
I'm not familiar with Cusco and what its purpose is, and it seems to me that it would be challenging to people that have breathing problems and oxygen need.
Yes, I would say altitude sickness is an issue to be concerned with if you travel to Peru, particularly Cusco, because that's at about 11,000. It's a city of about 400,000. There's all kinds of Spanish churches, very ornate Spanish churches, and a lot of Incan ruins there. And it's a very beautiful city, a place that you... It's fairly close to Machu Picchu. It's about 30-some miles from that area. And to get to Machu Picchu, you take a train to that area. So that's what we did. We took a train from Cusco over to Machu Picchu. But Cusco is a very beautiful city.
How many did you say?
About 400,000, I believe.
Well, that's
the population.
That's the size of Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yes.
So did they have transportation that included buses and donkeys both?
I didn't see too many donkeys, but a lot of taxi cabs. And there's trains and buses that can get people, around.
Did you go out for dinner and have like a swanky restaurant? And
we did visit. We did go out for dinner, and the food is very unique there, and very
oh,
good.
Oh, so
just the different types of spices. We had pizza there, and they have a different style of pizza that they make.
How different was it?
It didn't have the red sauce that we have here, so that was a little bit different.
They do bake it in an oven, an old stone oven?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a nightlife?
Yeah, but we were pretty much worn out from taking tours during the day, and so we ended up not partaking too much in the nightlife. We were in bed probably by 9 o'clock every night. Okay.
My guest this morning at 9:16 on a Monday. Oh, wait a minute. It's a Tuesday morning. Yeah. Wednesday morning. Holy cow, the week's almost over. Fran Winchettle is my guest. He's a former Rice County
Auditor treasurer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a position that requires you to be elected.
It formerly was an elected position. We ended up getting the legislation changed to make that an appointed position. So now the county's hired a chief financial officer to handle the financial affairs of the county.
At the whim of the county council?
Right. The county, board and county administration goes through a hiring process to determine qualifications for the individual, and then they hire based on those qualifications. And Rice County hired a very qualified individual in Paula O'Connell. And so now she has that role, and she's doing a very good job there.
We'll talk all about that, okay. But I want to stay over in Peru.
Sure.
Was this a bucket list deal? Did you have to find friends to go with you, or did you have this conversation for a year in advance? How did you choose, after your retirement, you could pretty much go anywhere in the world you wanted to, how did you end up selecting Peru?
Well, to be honest with you, it was a situation where I ended up flying to Las Vegas, and I ended up getting bumped for my flight, and they gave me two vouchers to go anywhere that airline flies. And so I looked at, well, where does this airline fly to? Where's the farthest point? And that location was Peru. And I thought, well, Machu Picchu is in Peru, and a lot of my friends had talked about going there and how it would be a fun place to visit. And so I thought, well, you know, here's an inexpensive way to travel there and see those sites. And so some of it was money driven.
Okay, I've taken advantage of an airline. Similar to you, how much time did it take for you to get back home, or which way you were bumped on the way home?
This was a flight to Las Vegas. I was bumped on the way out there, but I was going to a conference out there, and I didn't have to be. I was going to leave early and you know, do some fun stuff before the conference started. So I didn't have to be there anyway, and so I was just bumped to a later flight in the day, and then they put me on in first class.
Wow, that worked out.
So that worked out really well.
Yeah, good for you. I did the same thing, and I ended up in Virgin Islands.
You did? Oh, yeah. Wow. That must have been quite the trip, huh?
And yeah, I brought along a woman with me, and we had just gotten married.
Oh,
so it worked out perfectly that we went in late April, I think, and it worked out just fine. I'll take mine took about 3 hours. I ended up in I think it was Midway Airlines, and we ended up at Midway in Chicago, and the plane was supposed to be a drop in Chicago, then to St. Paul, and they said that they had a problem, and would you take this next flight, which was two hours later, and I instead of my going over to the other, I stayed there and watched them, and what they did is they turned the plane around right there, and because they had to go back to Washington, D.C. before the curfew was up, and so I caught them. You know, there wasn't anything wrong with that plane, and they were just turning it around to beat the curfew before, you know, instead of going to the Twin Cities and then Chicago. So I thought, I'm going to complain about this. And then ultimately gave me two tickets to the Virgin Islands.
Nice.
And they were round trip.
Well, I think my situation, they just overbooked the flight and needed some volunteers, and nobody else wanted to volunteer, and so I stepped up.
I guess there are people that are smart enough to know and figure out how to make money and enjoy vacations by doing that. And I don't know if I'd have to bring a lot of books along with me and wait. Fran Winchell is my guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair, former county treasurer for Rice County, and we're chit-chatting about his trip recently with your wife, I assume?
Yes, with my wife.
Did she enjoy that, too?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, we did see a lot of... We had tours scheduled for every day that we were outside of the Machu Picchu tour, every day that we were there, so that was interesting, seeing the countryside and the people, and so It was very eye opening and educational trip.
Well, that 400,000 people, that surprises me. I didn't realize it was that big. And of course, you didn't take advantage of the nightlife for whatever reason. Uh-huh. You were tired. Did you stay in a nice place?
It was nice. It was close to the downtown area in Cusco, and so it was nice.
And what about phone service?
We opted, we had an option on our phone to use our cell phones, but we never did use that. We just didn't use.
What was the weather like? What month did you go?
It was November 2nd through November 11th, and the weather was about, it would get to highs of about 70 to 75 during the day, and then lows of about 55 or so in the evening.
So there was no snow problems?
No. And we were somewhat close to the Andy Mountains.
Did you meet anybody you knew?
No.
Did you strike up any friendships with Americans from another part of the world, or Canadians, or Englishmen?
We talked to quite a few people. There was a couple from Australia that we rode the train back with, and they had some very interesting stories. The guy was from Perth, Australia, and quite a character.
Does that conversation end like this? Well, it was really great, meeting you, and I hope the rest of your trip goes very well. And if you're ever in Perth, be sure that you contact us. And then you said if you're ever in Northfield, and they go, Northfield? Where's that? Is that how it ends?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of times that's how it ends.
Did anybody ever know Northfield, Minnesota on your trip?
I would say not. Okay. Not that I encountered on this trip. A lot of people were. We didn't talk to very many Americans. It was Canadians and other people from Europe.
Did any of them diss the president?
We stayed away from politics.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it more of like a religious awakening or commitment to go to these places that you went to?
There were I think back in the I think it was the 1500 or 1600s, the Spanish came in and conquered the Incas and then put very ornate churches and over the tops of a lot of the Inca ruins there, or the Inca buildings, and
conquistadors.
Yes, conquistadors,
which stole all their gold and silver.
Yes.
Did they tell that story?
Yes, they did.
And is there any bitterness to the natural people, indigenous Peruvians, kind of tell you about that in a way that the American Indian would tell their story?
We didn't talk to. We talked to tour guides, which they pretty much talked about the facts, and that was a long time ago, and things change, and I didn't sense any a lot of bitterness, we didn't talk to a lot of people about that.
Okay. It's funny what kind of questions I come up with.
Yes.
We're going to take a brief break here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We will be back in a moment with our guest on KYMN. Fran Winchittle is my guest.
When you work with folks you know, like me, Mark Quinnell, you know what to expect. That's why you should give State Farm Bank a try. A State Farm agent that helps protect your home, your car, and your family can help with your banking needs. It's more than just banking. It's banking with a good neighbor. State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Some products and services are not available in all areas. For information, call me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Fran Winchettle, and he is the former Rice County Treasurer and
auditor.
I was going to say auditor. Okay. And what I do on the show is I chronologically get you to the point where you got a chance to go to Peru with your wife.
Okay.
And what is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Julie.
Julie.
Yes.
That should not be hard to remember. I have a wife named Julie.
All right.
Does she have a middle name?
Julie Ann.
My wife is Julie Ann, but they're different names. In other words, it isn't J-U-L-I-E-A-N-N-E. It's J-U-L-E, capital A-N-N.
Yeah, and I believe hers is A-N-N.
And so her last name was Detley. What was yours?
Stein.
Stein?
Yes.
Is that a Northfield name?
That is probably a central Minnesota name. I believe it's German. So.
Okay. What is Winchettle?
It is, from what I understand, is kind of an, my ancestors are from the Austria, German, area, kind of the Bavaria, area.
My wife bought a, 23andMe or whatever mm-hmm. those ancestral things are. Mm-hmm. She bought several kits. And we just got the boxes, and now we have to do the spitting
sure.
and then send it in and wait and wait, and it'll be interesting. I got to ask you, and I'm so glad you're sitting in the studio where I got you so you can answer this question. What was it like growing up with the name Winchettle? It must have been fun for other kids to say and perhaps tease.
I suppose I did get a certain amount of teasing, but I was very good about taking it in stride. And I guess I came out of childhood all right.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just wondering if people enjoyed saying the name, you know.
Yes.
Or maybe I'm immature, you know, but wow, you could say.
Yeah, you can swear in it.
Yeah, and I can't say the word right now, but I can say Winchettle.
Yes.
So, as an adult, or in college, did you ever get anybody that just kind of said Winchettle?
Jokingly, but not, you know, like they had. You know, intent of, you know.
Well, how many Winchettles are there around?
Actually, there are quite a few, and there's quite a few that I know there was a Winchettle that I believe ran in Iowa for, I think, Congress, and then I think there's a couple of them in the metro area. I think in Chaska there is one that ran for mayor, I believe. So there's a few Winchettles in elected positions.
Okay, got to say it on TV and all that.
Yes.
What are your mom and dad's names?
My father passed away about 5 years ago. His name was Herb. And then my mother's name is Bernetta, and she's living...
Netta?
Bernetta.
Bernetta, okay. Yeah. Did they call her Bernie?
Bernie, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's living up in Cold Spring, Minnesota. That was where I grew up.
Okay, that's what was my next question, is you're from Cold Spring, Minnesota.
Yes.
And where exactly is Cold Spring, Minnesota?
Cold Spring is about maybe 13, 14 miles southeast of St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Southeast, okay.
On Highway 23. Yes, it's there's a lot of lakes in the region. Very beautiful area.
Well, when you went to school, was it one school district?
Yes.
Okay,
for several cities. So Richmond, Rockville, and Cold Spring were the three cities. So the first two letters of Rockville, first two letters of
so we got
Cold Spring,
R-O-C-O. And then the
C O. And then RI is first two letters of Richmond. So
Ricori.
Ricori.
So I never knew that.
So that's, yes.
Thank you. I never knew that.
That's the high school that I attended when I was up there.
I remember talking about Ricori on many. I always thought it was a parochial school, Ricori.
No.
Well, for goodness sakes.
Public school. Yeah. Eric Decker, you know, the famous Bronco and wide receiver from the NFL. He entered.
I associated him with the Gophers.
Yes.
And
he was from Cold Spring also.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, that guy is really good.
Talented, yes.
And then I thought he ended up with the Jets or something.
The Jets, yes. And now he retired in 2017,
he
understand.
Did.
Yeah.
And every time I'd hear his name on TV watching a football game, I'd have that Minnesota pride that he had come from Ricori. I didn't know where Ricori was, but maybe I'm just dumb, but
And then I ended up graduating with another guy that ended up going on to be a Minnesota Viking, Rick Bell. I don't know if you remember that name.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, back in the 1980s, I think he...
I was covering the Vikings pretty every, you know, I traveled, et cetera. Yeah, Rick Bell. I remember him.
He was a good friend of mine and from Cold Spring. And he went to St. John's University, where I went to college as well, and went to the grade school, St. Boniface grade school there in Cold Spring. And,
okay, so now tell me about siblings. How many siblings do you have?
I have four brothers and one sister.
Okay, let's do it chronologically. Who's the oldest?
My oldest brother is Mike Winchettle.
Mike, okay. And then how much older is he than you?
He's 3 years older than
me. Oh, okay. After Mike?
And then I'm the second oldest, and then my brother Brian is a year younger than me.
Okay, just Brian. And then after Brian?
Is my sister Jane.
Jane?
Yes.
Okay.
And... she's a year younger than Brian.
Okay, that's 2 years younger than you.
Yes, and then my brother Pat, or Patrick.
Okay.
And then my brother Gary.
How much younger is Pat than you?
4 years younger.
Okay.
And Gary is 7 years
younger. Gary?
Gary.
G-A-R-Y?
Yes.
Okay. Gary is 7 years younger. Wow, that had to be a fun household.
Yeah, full
I mean, the fact that...
back in that day, it seemed like there were a lot of larger families
than
today.
Especially the fact that everybody... You're kind of at the end of the fact that everybody thought Catholics were multiplying to have more Catholics, and they had, and of course they couldn't practice birth control, except for the Rhythm method, and so they have a lot of children, and also to help around the farm if they happen to be farm people.
Yes.
Were you farm people?
We were not, but I knew of a lot of families that were farm people that had as many as 16, 17 children
and
in
that's
the family.
Something.
Isn't that?
But you know where you're lucky is that you and Gary are 7 years apart, which doesn't seem like much today in your professional lives. But also, he was around when you were around. A lot of them, well, I don't know what they were like because I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case, your younger brother started in the school district as you were still in the school district. Mm-hmm. So that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Who did you like best?
I liked them all, but I probably did the most with my brother Brian
because
he was closest in age. So we played a lot of baseball and football and did a lot of sports together. And he enjoys biking. We still do bike trips together. We ended up biking around the south end of Manhattan this last year.
Wow, we got a lot to talk about.
And with my brother Pat, I ended up biking from downtown San Francisco across the Golden Gate Bridge and back, which was quite the scenic tour.
Did you go to the hardwoods?
The hardwoods, no.
The trees, the big...
Oh, you mean the redwoods, you mean, in Muir Woods?
Yeah,
yes.
Excuse me.
Actually, I did an American Hiking Society volunteer vacation to Muir Woods, and so I ended up helping brush the trails in Muir Woods for I think 2 days.
Did you walk through a tree?
That tree, apparently, from what I heard, had fallen down and is no longer there with the, you know, the car you could drive through the.
Yeah. My uncle lived, I can't remember the name of the town, but it would have been north of there, and it was a large school district, and he was the district psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever. The one that, you know, if there's a problem, he works on. This is great. You got a nice, I envy it that you have a nice large family. And Jane had to be in heaven. I would imagine she was special.
Yeah, she was very special. She got her own room where, growing up, I had to share a room with three other brothers. So that was very unique circumstance.
what did your father do for a living?
He was a teacher. He taught English and history.
In what school district? Ricori?
Ricori, yes. Yeah. And then he also taught in New Ulm and I think Gibbon, Minnesota.
After or before you left the house? New Ulm?
New Ulm when I was a small child. Yeah, and then Cold Spring is where we ended up living most of our lives. Okay. And my mother still lives
what
there.
What school, college, did he go to university?
He went to St. John's University.
Oh, you're Johnny's.
So, yes, we're a Johnny family. And then my daughter, Katie, went to
Benedict.
St. Ben's. Yeah. Yes, and my brother, Brian, also went to St. John's.
How about
University? He ended up going into the military. He served in the Navy for 4 years, and then he ended up going to a tech college for computers. And
he's doing well then.
So he's doing well, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I didn't have to go to St. John's.
Yeah, and he's still living up in the Cold Spring area. And then my brother Brian is out in New York, out in Buffalo, New York. He manages a Bravo restaurant out there.
A brothel?
Bravo.
Bravo.
Yes, it's an Italian restaurant out there. And then my sister Jane lives in Anchorage, Alaska, so I got to visit her last year. And
go fishing?
I did not go fishing, but we did a lot of canoeing, and my brother-in-law is a pilot, so we get to go up in the plane and see some of the glaciers, and we did quite a few hikes, and I biked quite a few of the trails in and around Anchorage, which is just a gorgeous area.
By the way, my guest this morning is wearing a tassel, not a tassel cap, but what do you call that?
I don't know.
Without the
to
ball.
Cover, to cover my bald hair.
Yeah, and, okay.
It gets cold you have temperatures like this outside, so you need something on your head all the time. As well, you must know, Wayne.
Yep, I took mine off when I got out of the car. And you're about, 5'10"?
Yeah, 5'10".
And you probably weigh about 162?
170, about.
Okay. Well, I was close.
Mm-hmm.
So you stay in ship shape?
Yes. We do on an annual basis with some friend group in Northfield, including Paul. We've been doing the Mora Classic Series, which is a canoe race. It's a 17-mile canoe race. Down the Snake River in the spring, and then there's a half marathon in the August, and then a 52-mile bike tour in September, and then in February we do the Vasalopa, which is about a 22-mile ski race. So we train.
Is that in Wisconsin?
No, it's in Mora, Minnesota, which is up by
Fargo,
north of Cambridge.
Yeah.
So those, you know, in trying to prepare for those
in your
events.
Society?
There's probably 5 or 6 people in you know, that friend group that enjoys.
Do you have a name for yourself? I'll bet you do. You can't say it on the air?
Well, we we call ourselves the So-So group.
So-So?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I literally So-So, or you're not saying what So-So means. We'll talk about that off the air,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
19 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on the 95.1 FM. And, of course, for over 50 years, 1080 on your AM dial, KYMN. Windshield. I bet your people say that
yes.
a lot.
Oh, yes.
Am I right?
Yes, they don't want to swear.
Okay. Fran Windshield. Fran Windshield is my guest here this morning on KYMN. Retired Rice County accountant and all of that.
Auditor, treasurer,
all the money stuff. You handle, we'll get to your job, but just popped in my head. What's it like handling millions of dollars?
It's very interesting, and I really enjoyed that part of my job is the investing portion. And so I was very active. I ended up teaching a number of classes to other auditor treasurers in the state about how to best manage you know, some of the investments in their portfolio. I also was a member of the Magic Fund Board, which is a board that I think there's about 66 counties that belong to a joint powers organization.
That's almost all of them.
And
86 or
87 counties in the state, and they would pool their mostly tax receipts, and then we would invest that like a much like a money market fund, and so that was a great tool for counties to use to earn a little bit extra revenue. And there was about almost $1 billion.
Ooh, we're talking
that fund.
Money.
So
now.
I was served on the board that oversaw that $1 billion.
Remember Tom Neville as a senator?
Yes.
Okay. I'll never forget. We were sitting right in this room. I think, maybe out at the old studios. But anyhow, I'll never forget what he said. I was against what he was proposing, although we have similar commitments. And he said, $8 million, that's just a splash, a drop in the bucket. And to me, $8 million is nowhere near a drop in the bucket. However, in reality, it is a drop in the bucket on the state level.
On the state level, yes.
16 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio, Fran Windshield is my guest this morning. And, Fran, I want to go back to Cold Spring, where your dad was a teacher in the Ricori School District, what were the three cities?
Richmond, Rockville, and Cold Spring.
Okay. And Richmond, is it R-I?
Yes.
C-O-R-I?
So Rockville, R-O, Cold Spring, oh. C-O, and then Richmond, R-I.
Okay.
For Ricori.
All right, Ricori. Anyhow, you grew up there now, and you're one of eight children, seven children.
Six.
One of six children, second oldest. All right, let's go to your hometown, Gold Spring. Where did you live?
It was kind of on the southwest side of town.
How big was Cold Spring?
Cold Spring is a town of about 3,000. Small town,
okay.
Yes. There are, like I said, there are a chain of lakes that go through, the Sauk River chain of lakes that go through Cold Spring and in the Richmond area, so there are plenty of lakes and recreational opportunities in that area that were a lot of fun.
Was your house on a lake?
No, it was in town. It was close to the baseball park, and that was kind of where I did a lot of the fun stuff in my youth, playing baseball, football, a lot of sports in that.
Was your house post World War II, or was it an old?
It was built in the 60s, late 60s.
All right. How many floors?
It was a split level. Just kind of a spec house of the time.
Okay, I know what you mean there. Yep. So, how did you do bedrooms? How many bedrooms were in this Rambler spec house?
There were four bedrooms.
Mom and dad.
And then my sister had one, and then four boys and then the other.
So you the boys did double in rooms. So you roomed with your brother, Brian?
With Brian, Mike, and Pat.
In one room or two?
One room.
Two bunk beds?
Two bunk beds, yes.
Who got the, well, you slept where you wanted to, I'm sure. Or no, maybe Mike did.
Mike did.
Yeah.
Yes.
How big
but
was
I slept on the top of one of the bunk
you
beds.
Did. Yeah. You didn't wet the bed, did you?
No.
Okay. That'd be kind
never.
Of for the kid get
down below.
So was Mike bigger than you?
He was 3 years older, so yes.
Okay. Was he, you know, the guy? I mean, he ruled the roost. It was
I would say, bigger than everybody else. So,
did you ever ever get into it with him when you got older?
And I don't remember too much with him.
You're Brian.
With Brian, oh yes,
you guys all the time.
Yeah. Well, brothers, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's
but we're very close.
That's why I enjoy these shows. Mm-hmm. Is that today's families are less than six. Uh-huh.
Generally speaking,
and
yes.
Then to have a large family, and as you uh-huh. mentioned, you knew some with 15, 17, 19. I've met those people too, and it's always kind of fun to know how that family dynamics is. For example, when did you realize that maybe Brian could take you?
Brian was taller growing up, but I don't know. I was more athletic, I think, than him. So, okay.
So when you wrestled,
I knew the moves a little bit better than what he did.
So Mike could take you, and you could take Brian,
yes.
And nobody bothered Jane,
right?
And then Pat and Gary were too young to get into it.
Yeah. Yes,
that's interesting. 12 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, KYMN. Have you ever been to the Quarterback Club?
I have, yes.
And what do you generally order when you go there?
I like the chicken.
Yeah.
The roasted chicken. They have some very good food there. So,
have you ever had their baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness oozing all over them in the form of their famous sauce?
Oh, I have.
It's good.
It's wonderful,
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Quarterback Club served breakfast until 10 o'clock each morning, Monday through Saturday. And they start at 7 on Saturday and 6 on Monday through Friday. And they serve anything you can possibly think of for breakfast. They've got it, and it's amazing how quickly you're served. Go in the wintertime, for example, and go up to the counter, give them your order, go take your hat and coat off, and by the time you're comfortable, they're there with your breakfast. They're amazing. Locally owned, locally managed. That is the Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Fran Winchittle, and he's a former treasurer and accountant.
I did accounting at the county, but I was the auditor, kind of the chief financial officer for Rice County.
That'd be a chief financial. I like that once. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be back with the former chief financial officer of Rice County right after this.
Hi, I'm Pam Fikencher, senior pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Northfield. We invite you to join us for beautiful, song-filled worship every Sunday at 8:30 and 10:45 a.m. We are located at 500 3rd Street West in Northfield. If you can't join us in person, you can listen to our broadcast at 8:30 a.m. every Sunday on KYMN Radio 1080 a.m. or live online at kymnradio.net. Go to stjohnsnorthfield.org to see our full calendar of events. We hope to see you soon.
Hey, what you selling?
Fun.
It looks like a lot of fun.
You know it.
Can I give it a test drive?
Absolutely. Just be careful. It has a lot of power.
Oh, man, this is awesome.
Whether you're in the market for a new dirt bike, jet ski, four-wheeler, motorcycle, side-by-side, or pretty much any other fun thing you're looking for, remember Leo's South in Lakeville. We sell fun.
Portable one, the one you want at Leo's South.
We sell fun.
Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
Number one song in all of 1979.
This is The Knack.
The Knack is correct. Mm-hmm. Can you name that tune?
My Sharona.
You got it.
My little pretty one, pretty one. When you throw
What about the school setup in Cold Spring where you went to school to Ricori, three different communities?
That was the high school that was the took care of the ninth through the 12th grades.
And how far was the grade school from your house? You were near the baseball field, but how far from the grade school?
I attended St. Boniface Catholic grade school, and that was probably about 9 blocks from my house.
Would you go home for lunch?
No.
You went to St. Boniface?
No. But we would walk to school and back.
Yeah. Even in the winter?
I believe so. I can't remember specifically.
And your dad was a teacher.
He was.
Was he in the Ricori school system?
Yes, at the high school, which was about a mile and a quarter from my house.
Would he drive by the grade school you were going to?
Yeah, he probably dropped us off many times.
What was
in the
your
winter
first
time.
Bicycle?
I had this Hercules English bike, black English bike. That was
secondhand.
No, I think my parents ended up buying it new, but it was quite the bike.
Was it cooler than Mike's?
Mike wasn't into biking.
What? In a small town, he didn't ride around on a bike?
He didn't ride around much. Back in the day, we would, my mom would let us out in the morning in the summertime, and we'd be out
gone.
Pretty much all day and then come back for supper time.
go to the lakes, go fishing?
Yeah, go fishing, golf at the golf courses, bike. Bike to friends' houses and got bike to the ballpark. We biked everywhere. And
did you ever squeeze just the front brake and go over Teetle?
I've never done that.
I did.
And I do a lot of biking, but at some point I'm probably going to do that.
Well, I did it when I saved up. I saved up $20, 1954 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
$20. That was a lot of money.
And what kind of bike did you buy?
I bought what we called an English bike.
Okay.
That's what we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the brakes on the handles mm-hmm. in the front on the handlebars. And I hit the front brake only.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went over tea. What did they say? Ass over tea kettles? Excuse my language. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I wheeled it back. And I asked the guy that I bought it from if I could not buy it. And you bought it, you own it, buyer mm-hmm. beware.
And so after that was a valuable lesson. After that, you learned what that front brake is all about, and the rear brakes are the ones that you need to apply first.
That's why I asked if you did that now. And you remembered your first bike. It was black. It was an English bike, I call it.
Uh-huh.
And 3-speed or 10-speed?
3-speed.
3-speed. Okay, that was cool.
Uh-huh.
And so did you ever have a job when you were in grade school? Did you have a responsibility other than being an altar boy?
Well, I was an altar boy. My parents would provide an allowance for chores done around the house. But when I got to be about, I think it was 7th or 8th grade, I had a paper route.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. See, that's two things we have in common.
So, and I remember I used to get 3 cents per paper that I delivered. So.
How many do you have on your route?
It must have been maybe 100.
Wow.
With apartment buildings, so those were, the easier.
Was
delivers.
That the local paper?
Was the shopper.
Oh, okay, a shopper,
mm-hmm.
which is once a week.
Right.
Which is $3 a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for a lot of apartments, it wasn't that hard in the wintertime.
Right.
But it was wintertime. Okay, and you did it right in town.
In town.
You had different people that went to the mailboxes out on the road.
Right.
Okay. So do you remember how many priests you were a altar boy for, or it was a pretty stable one-piece one priest your whole
through my career? I think it was second grade through sixth grade at St. Boniface. There must have been, I don't know, 5 or 6 priests
that
went through the parish and at the time.
So did you didn't say it in Latin?
I think Seems like some of the masses when we first got to town were like that in the 60s, but yeah. But that changed.
And you had to learn that?
No.
No, you didn't. Okay.
No.
So did you do weddings and funerals?
I think there were some, yes, but not very many.
That was a good time to pick up a dollar or $5 or $10 sometimes.
Yeah, I don't remember getting paid for
that. They didn't tip the altar boys at St. Boniface?
No.
What a sin.
Just a service.
Did you have nuns at St. Boniface?
Yes, we did.
Were they all nuns?
I know there were some lay people that were also teaching. So about half the teachers that I had from first grade to sixth grade were nuns.
Now, you certainly remember one nun for sure.
I remember them all.
Okay. Did you have a favorite one and then a mean one?
Yeah. Sister Marvin was, she was my first grade teacher. She was very pleasant and very nice, and so I enjoyed her. And then Sister Anne was kind of the tough nun, and I never got my knuckles beat with the ruler, but others in my class that acted out.
Well, I was the one that got his Sister Clarissa, who had a wart by her chin and a hair on the wart.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy what you remember, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So Sister Anne was kind of tough on you. And when you were did you have male teachers at St. Boniface?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was awestruck when we had male teachers when I got into high school. The other ones were all nuns all the time.
Mm-hmm. So you went to St. Dominic's here in town? Or
no, I'm not. I'm originally from St. Paul and Indianapolis. And when I got into my broadcaster career, Tomah, Wisconsin, Austin, Minnesota, Northfield, Minnesota, 50 years ago.
Okay.
So I, of course, never went to school here, but knew the priests, always know and liked the priests here. So it's almost 10 o'clock, and our guest this morning is former CFO for Rice County, and his name is Fran Whittle, and we're talking about grade school. Now, when you got out of St. Boniface, was it sixth grade or eighth grade?
Sixth grade.
Okay, so then you went into Cold Spring.
To Ricori. The middle school there.
And how far was that to go to?
It was right next door to St. Boniface, so not very far. So eight or nine blocks.
Is that where your dad taught?
My dad taught at the high school, which was about a mile.
Oh, what did you do? Seventh, eighth, and ninth then?
So it was seventh and eighth.
Okay.
And then ninth through senior year.
So seventh and eighth was
a separate
public school.
Yes.
And where did the kids go 1 through 6 that were not going to St. Boniface?
There was another school right by the middle school.
Okay, so they're all close by.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a predominantly Catholic community, so.
Okay. And you had co-eds?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Uniforms?
No uniforms.
Oh, okay. So. Well, let's take a break, and we don't have the news coming up here, but I'll play another song on KYMN Radio that we'll see if you remember the song, and it's going to be a while. I'll start it off, and you tell me if you know the song, and we'll listen to it in its entirety. Fran, name this tune.
I don't know the artist.
Name the tune.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording.
That's got a
You know it?
No, I don't.
All right.
I mean, I've heard the song before.
It's Rupert Holmes.
Okay.
The name of the song is Escape, or the Pina Colada song.
Okay, sure.
It's all about a guy meeting his wife on the ads. And
if you like me, get
interesting.
Getting caught in the rain.
about my lady. I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad.
Back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair on a beautiful January 2nd, 2019. The Wayne Eddy Affair in the KYMN studios on Division Street in downtown Northfield. It's a beautiful first day of work, I guess we could say. Fran Winchittle is the retired CFO for Rice County, and I invited him to be a guest of mine because I always thought that he had something interesting to say, and I've learned that already. Just that sun isn't too bad on you,
no,
is it, by the way?
I'm fine.
Okay. Anyhow, we're getting to the parts that I like, and that's going through grade school and high school. So now you get out of what you'll call middle school, the 7th and 8th grade. You already knew a lot of kids, and as a matter of fact, the
were
the St. Boniface kids larger in number than others in the 6th and, or rather, the 7th and 8th grade, the other ones?
Well, and then after grade school, each town had their own grade school.
Okay.
So then in middle school, you know, some of those towns ended up busing their kids, you know, back to Cold Spring where the middle school was. So then you know, we merged. It was kind of the merger.
Well, that was kind of a good social event,
yes,
I would imagine.
Was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you kind of eye each other up, and you've been playing baseball during the summer and football and all that. And you look and say, ooh, that guy could be a really good guard on our offensive line. Comes from a farm, and he's big and strong.
Yes.
So we're going to go to high school now. So now it's 9 through 12.
Right.
And it's in what town?
It's still in Cold Spring.
Okay. How far away from home?
Probably a mile and a quarter away.
Are you still walking and biking?
Mostly walking and biking. I had an older brother that ended up, you know, getting his license. So he ended up, you know, taking me back and forth to
what
school.
How did he get his first car?
He worked at a garage as a mechanic and earned enough money to buy his first car.
Now, did Mom and Dad help him with gas since he was hauling the kids to school?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, but we were, since it was a large family, we're pretty independent. My mother didn't work until later in life. So we were, you know, very
the ideal family. Your dad was in education. Your mom was a
very traditional family of the time. Where, yes, where mother was a homemaker. And,
Did she make clothes for you?
She did. Yes.
What was your favorite meal she made?
She had a wonderful chicken, baked chicken recipe with crunched up cornflakes on top. That was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I remember that.
When you got into high school, were you a jock?
I ran cross country several years. I ended up being a swimmer, and then I also did track, and I played a lot of intramural sports and. And tennis. I played quite a bit of tennis. We didn't have a tennis team. Golf. Yes, I did play.
So you were doing all the individual sports. I mean, they may have accumulated points to have a team result, but you were individual sports.
Yes.
Did you wrestle?
I had a friend who was very good at wrestling. I think he ended up going on to wrestle for St. Thomas and was an All-American. Anyway, him and I were really close friends, and I was his sparring partner. He wrestled at 105. I was about 140 at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
But he would still beat me up.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun at the time.
I always ask individuals, men and women, on my show, if they participated in sports. What is that one moment you'll never forget in your competition? Now, it could be in track, it could be in cross country, golf, and whatever else you participated, but there's one particular thing that you have not forgotten that you performed in high school as an athlete.
I was quite the tennis player. I enjoyed playing a lot of my friends, and I was the only. I had a very hard serve, and oftentimes when I would serve the ball would sail through the chain link fence, and so we would have to shag those balls. But and a lot of people, they couldn't touch, you know, my serve. So that was probably, you know, some of the highlights of
the thing you remember
that I remember. Yeah. People in tennis and
did that serve you well in team competition, your tennis team?
I was very competitive and,
So
another, more, humbling moment was, I was playing football against Rick Bell, and he was a running back for the other team, and, you know, we were playing inter-squad games, so I was going to go up and tackle him, and ran right over me, knocked the wind out of me. After that, I didn't play football anymore. That was in, I think I was in 8th grade at the time. But Rick went on to become a Minnesota Viking and a running back for that team. And he was a great running back for St. John's University.
I've been
played on some, yeah.
yeah.
Some very awesome teams. He's from. He lives in Chatfield now.
I got to ask you this question.
Yeah. Okay.
When you saw Rick on television watching a Viking game, and he ran 7 yards or whatever, did you turn to whoever was in the room and say, "Hey,
I know
I played football against him." You did?
Oh, I'm sure I did.
I'm sure. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, he's a friend of mine too. Yeah. So, I think he's got some roots in Rice County in that he's got some relatives that live in Faribault.
Oh.
And so I think they had a bar, from what I understand, and he, I guess, had a big picture of Rick on his bar. And I'm not sure which bar it was, but it was a Bell.
You knew all the bars in Faribault?
No.
Uncle Al's?
Not until I came to Rice County in 91.
Okay.
So
you're given, there was a bar down there. It was on Central Avenue and on the south side, and I think it would have been 4th Street. I'm not sure. Maybe 3rd Street. And on one side was a bar, and they had dancing girls and all of that. And right next to it, owned by the same people, from, I think, one lady that worked at Carlton, and the chandelier room.
Oh.
And it had red carpeting and tablecloths and all that. So it was a really nice dining experience. And then if you went through the door, you walked into a bar atmosphere that was fun and noisy and all that. I sold advertising to those people. That's why I was in there. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I don't that
recall.
Was before 91. So
yeah. So I don't recall.
But there are listeners that will go, "Oh yeah, I remember going down there for dinner." Mm-hmm. So and I think I got it right. The chandelier room.
Oh.
That was nice. 13 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. You're listening to the 95.1 FM. And KYMN Radio since 1968, over 50 years, serving you on 1080 AM. My guest this morning is the CFO, retired CFO from Rice County, and we're going to get to his career there, but right now we're still in high school. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the clock. We'll be cool.
All right.
It's I'll tell you, it's 14 minutes after 10. And this is a two-hour show, as you know, but mm-hmm. people come back mm-hmm. as you may. Have you ever listened to the show?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you know the format. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about time. I mean, you're retired. If you were, busy and going off to, I try to squash it in. I have a guest coming up Friday that is an hour show, and his career is so amazing that I had in advance told him we're going to book a two-hour show later into January. He's going someplace in January. And he said he had Friday available. I said, well, you know what? We're not going to get done in an hour or two mm-hmm. hours. So, anyhow.
So this is your intro to invite me back another time.
All
right.
Yeah, I mean, so you can be detailed in your answers.
Okay.
Because we call it, or I refer to it as, eavesdropping. For the listeners that, uh-huh. it's a one-on-one conversation. It can get personal. It can get professional, of course. And it's like eavesdropping.
Sure.
Okay, not, what do you call that, dropping from bats? Not that, although your name is Win Schittle, but how did it go wrong to get that? You get out of grade school, you get into high school, you compete in the individual sports, you tried mm-hmm. football, Rick Bell ran over you, that was the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was your father and mother, that'd be Herb and Bernie, were they preaching St. John's to you children from the get-go?
Certainly encouraged us. They would take us out to homecoming football games on pretty much an annual basis. And St. John's was only like 13 miles from where I lived. So it was easy to go out there and see what's going on campus and, kind of get to experience a little bit of the campus life, and that intrigued me. And it's a very beautiful campus. there's not too many distractions because it's kind of set out in the countryside. And we had a wonderful 4 years, you know, going to college there.
You know, I have to give a afterthought, if I may.
Sure.
One of the TV stations, it might have been Sunday morning on CBS, where they do an hour and a half show about different things and going on. But anyhow, they had like a 20-minute tribute to the people who passed away in 2018.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the biggest, oldest, youngest movie stars, television stars, politicians, athletes, people that made a difference. And I was amazed at how many had passed away. Oh, that's right. They mentioned three that I knew.
Really?
And it John Gilardi.
Oh, sure.
Was one.
I know John.
They showed a picture of him and his record. I've known Gilardi for a lot of years. And the other one was Earl Bakken, the founder of Medtronic. And I thought, wow, they're remembering some, because that guy, I mean, he's international. There was a third one, and I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. I knew three of the people, unfortunately, only went to one. Celebration of Love, left. So, St. John's. It's there. You know what it's like.
Yeah, I graduated with an accounting major.
Well, we
want to
get you in there. Just a second. We didn't get through high school.
All right.
So did you do anything else in high school? Were you in, like, theater? Or were you in, like, speech? Or were you in, like...
I was mostly into sports. Okay. And, and then I had worked a part-time job at a pizza place in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Sammy's Pizza.
I know where that is.
It was located, when I worked there, it was downtown where the Wells Fargo building is now.
Yeah.
On 5th Street. And
by the Civic Center.
By the Civic Center. So I worked there for about 2 years.
I worked.
Flipping pizzas.
I did the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah. I did that in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun job. And
delivering pizza.
Yeah,
I had
mostly making is where I was at. And
I made them, and I remember the first time I made it, or I actually remember like the third time I made it, anchovy pizza.
Okay, yeah.
What are these people liking about anchovies? So I took a whole one, instead of flipping it on the pizza, I flipped it in my mouth. Have you ever done that?
I have. And they're
did
very
you do
salty.
It again?
No, I did not. Not an anchovy fan here.
Yeah. I like them. I like anchovies, but not a whole one in your mouth at once. That's like emptying your salt shaker in your mouth. So did you cook mostly, so you didn't get any tips?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you able to flip the dough in the air?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So we.
Cool.
Yeah, we would experiment with going around the back and flipping it up high and doing two with the with each hands and it became kind of behind a glass window, so it was kind of a show for the patrons that would come into.
Did
the,
they encourage you to do that?
They didn't discourage us, that I recall.
So one goes on the floor, you start all over.
Yes, you start all over.
Well, what do you think was the most popular pizza that you had made, the one you made the most?
Sausage pepperoni, I think, is probably it.
What's your favorite pizza?
Well, I really like Carboni's house pizza here in town. Which has sausage, pepperoni, some vegetables on it. It's really great pizza. In fact, I had that last night. I've had it probably.
I had one last night from B&L.
Yeah, B&L has wonderful pizzas too.
My wife likes Canadian bacon, which is not my favorite, but also pineapple.
Yes.
So that takes. Yeah. So that's what we had last night.
That's probably my second favorite is the Canadian bacon pineapple.
Okay. Now, here's another connection that we have, all right? You said you went to Carboni's.
Yes.
That's the place I got my taste of my very first pizza.
Really?
Carboni's, 7th and Mariah in St. Paul.
Okay.
Graduated high school with the daughter who started Carboni's. And I've been trying to get her down here for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, I haven't succeeded yet. But I actually was looked in dismay when they brought the pizza out. And they called it pizza pie back then. And I was expecting a pie.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's cut like a pie, but there's nothing pie about it. But so there's another connection.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So that was spending money. When did you get your first car?
I probably was a junior in high school, and it was a 1969 Chevy Impala with a 396 engine. So
that'll work.
Big
yeah.
engine, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we gave away for our 20th anniversary, as in KYMN, started in 1968. In 1988, I gave away a two-door hardtop Chevrolet. I can't remember the name for it. It was a
upscale model, huh?
Yeah, and it had, what do you call it? Hardtop?
Okay.
You know, sure. No, the windows all would go down. There'd be no mm-hmm. bar in between them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool blue car. And silver, the colors of the station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun to give that away. So another connection mm-hmm. we have here, friend. Witchell mm-hmm. from Northfield, Minnesota, CFO for the Rice County Commissioners in the community of Rice County, is my guest here this morning at 10:24. And we got him out of grade school into high school. And did Ricori have a prom?
Yes.
Did yeah. you go?
I did.
How many mm-hmm. times?
Two times when I was a junior and senior.
Same lady?
I think the senior year I ended up going by myself. But my junior year I ended up taking a date, and yeah, we had a good time.
Did you use your own car?
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You didn't try to get a really cool car from somebody else to impress a girl?
No. I ended up at my prom, as many proms there are, had some drama in that I lent my car to somebody else, and he drove his date home and crashed my car, so I didn't get to take my date home.
Well, that's funny, because at one of my proms, I can't remember whether I was a junior or a senior, but we had a 1958 Impala
mm-hmm.
that we borrowed from a friend and had to do a lot of talking. And we backed into a pole from the restaurant we were at. And, of course, put a dent in the bumper. So you had to, back in those days, you know, it wasn't that bad. But mm-hmm. now you back into a pole, a parking pole, mm-hmm. with a new car. It's yes. thousands of dollars damage.
Yes.
Because it's all wired and plastic and all
and
that.
And everything is connected.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's another connection, a crash mm-hmm. during prom time.
Yes.
So now, when was it a settled thing that you were going to go to St. John's?
And I think it was just, there was a lot of things that lined up. It was, you know, very convenient to where my parents lived, so I could go home and visit easily. And it was a great school, and I don't know. Just a lot of things that had lined up. A lot of my friends ended up going down to St. Thomas.
What about your grades? How important were they?
Oh, I was a pretty good student, and math was always a subject that I excelled in, and so it was pretty easy for me to get in there. And St. John's is a great school.
So now you're going to be away from home for the first time in your life. Did you get homesick the first several weeks, or were you just awestruck?
I was one of those kids that had a car on campus and could go home anytime I wanted. So oftentimes I would, you know, if I felt homesick, I'd just go home and have supper with my parents or bring my laundry home.
I was just going to say, are you the kid that brought the laundry
yes.
home?
Yes.
And Mom would take care
Mom
of
Mom would take care of me.
When did she get a job? Was it after Gary was out of high school?
I Yes, it was after, or when Gary probably was in high school.
Okay, yeah. What job did she take?
She was involved in the laundry department at a nursing home, and she worked there for many years.
No.
So she was 77 or 78, I think my mother was, when she retired.
Okay. She's still living?
She is, yes. Okay. She's living up in Cold Spring, Minnesota.
Get to see her often?
Try to get there as often as I can, but usually it's at least once a month. But
is she ambulatory and conversive?
Oh, yeah. She's living independently and, in the same home that I grew up in. And
wow, good for her.
Yeah.
Well, that's really none of the kids stay there? Or live
I have
there?
A brother that lives in Cold Spring, Mike, the oldest.
Mike, okay. Yeah. Well, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Your father passed away 5 years ago.
Yes.
And were you real close to your dad? Did he teach you like carpentry lawn mowing? Or was he into, what did he teach? You said
history and English.
Yeah, okay.
So I would say that my dad spent a lot of time with me repairing my cars, going through, I wasn't able to buy brand new cars, so a lot of times the cars that I bought would break down, and he was a very skilled mechanic as well, and so him and I would fix.
Did he pass that along to you, or you know? Well,
I am not mechanically inclined.
Not with today's cars, can't even see the engine,
Right.
Okay.
So I used to do some simple things, like I could, change the distributor cap, change my oil, and things like that, change spark plugs, and kind of some of the simpler things. But I
put in a radiator.
I've never done that, but yeah.
Would you take the challenge?
I probably wouldn't take the challenge.
Okay. Back then.
If I had some guidance, I might.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe it's not that hard.
So did St. John's recruit you?
I remember receiving... There were a number of colleges that would send out, recruiting material.
On your inquiry?
Based on my inquiry.
Grades?
I don't know. They would send it out to everybody in high school that probably took the ACT or PSAT.
But they'd look at the score.
They'd look at your score, yeah. So.
Okay, so you got offers from other colleges by way of scholarship?
I don't remember receiving too many, financial aid packages where, they were offering. And I guess I was pretty much focused on St. John's University.
Okay. You look at the family. I'm sure there were scholarships available,
right,
based on the income of a single earner in a family of eight.
Right.
They'd say, "Well, listen, here's what we can do for you."
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it made it
affordable.
Yeah. So, did you? When you were on campus, you're 13 miles from home. You could bring home the laundry, go home for dinner, enjoy some of that baked chicken with the cornflakes on top. And so it wasn't like you went away to college. It was just like you got a different room to sleep in and had more room than you did at home.
Yes.
So that was good. So what type of courses were you thinking about taking when you went into St. John's?
Well, I was initially going to be an actuary, so I was going to take a lot of math courses. I took a calculus course there, and I had calculus in high school, but I just did not get along with one of the teachers. And the first couple of tests that I had, I think he failed me on the first test, and I had a D- on the second test. And after that, I thought, I had always gotten A's or better in math. That just turned me off from going that a math major route. So I ended up changing to an accounting, and then I took calculus again got an A in it. It was the teacher.
Okay,
I
can't agree with you. Mm-hmm. I am going to argue. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
You have friends that are lawyers.
Yes.
So you know how to argue and debate and discuss. Math is black and white.
Yes.
Teachers score tests. They're black and white. You either have the right answer or you don't. So you didn't have the right answers, so they failed you or gave you a D minus or plus, whatever it was. And you may not like the teacher. You may think you don't get along personality-wise, but how can you blame a teacher on a math test?
Well, I think the ways, you know, we were supposed to show how we got to our answer. Oh. And, you know, they would grade on, you know, the methods that, mm-hmm. that you would take to get.
Okay.
And I think the methods that he taught were not very explicit and, I don't know.
You came up with the right answers, but you didn't do it his way.
Right.
Okay.
Then I ended up taking the class again next semester, and I got all A's in all my tests, and had no problem. So I don't know. There was something. And he was a very abrasive teacher, and I think he was out to weed people out. from pursuing a math career, that you needed to really have the aptitude to go in that direction to be a math major at St. John's. But so that's my perception.
Was a teacher a priest?
No.
Okay. A layman, so.
Layman.
Okay. So you switched up.
So now, I switched up to accounting, and then I ended up getting an accounting major and business.
Well, I want to go slowly through college. All right. Okay. It's 27 minutes before 11 o'clock on this, the second day of January in 2019. And my guest is Fran Winchettle, and he is the retired CFO for Rice County. And we'll get into that on a different day. I want to mm-hmm. go slowly through your educational process.
Sure.
I assume you graduated around 1983 or 4?
From college, yes.
Yeah, and you didn't get to your position at Rice County till 7 years later. So you've had some time there we can talk mm-hmm. about. But I want to go back to St. John's, if I may.
Sure.
And so the personality of this teacher befuddled you, and you were able to recapture the A's that you normally had with a different mm-hmm. teacher. Mm-hmm. They didn't like the way you were going at it, okay? You had the right answer, but he didn't like the way you got to that right answer. Right. Were you doing something that you came up with yourself, or was it everybody else did it his way because that's the way it's taught, but you found a shortcut?
I don't recall specifics on that, but I would think that it was like that. I was very good at math, and I could shortcut things, so I didn't have to write everything out where I could get an answer.
I understand.
Okay. Because I knew math really well.
Well, do you recall, maybe you don't, I don't remember the years, but it seems to me it was like in the 80s that they were teaching a new way for arithmetic, which mm-hmm. they call math, for young children in grade school, for adding and subtracting, dividing, and multiplying. And the way they had taught it and the way they come up with a new way of teaching it was kind of like the way I did it, because like you and other mm-hmm. I was good in arithmetic, math, if you want to call it mm-hmm. When we got into algebra and geometry and higher algebra, I was a lost soul because I didn't pay attention, didn't have the discipline. But I loved arithmetic, and I could add, subtract, multiply in my head, and simply by different ways of doing it that I mm-hmm. thought, well, I came up with it mm-hmm. in my head, and then they started teaching it. Did you go through that phase at all, or
I don't?
You had a way, your own way.
I had my own way, and I suppose they started teaching different methods, and I was when I was in like sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, I was into baseball cards, and so we would make baseball simulation games based on the probability of shaking three sets of dice, we would have we would play games. You know, we would make players, player cards, and you'd shake dice, and based on the probability of getting a single or home run, you know, we would play games, and we would occupy quite a bit of our time in our youth with my friend group, and that required a lot of math to figure out some of those probabilities and make those players, and so that was how I think my math skills ended up really getting established.
Well, who would argue with your answer?
With the statistical probability?
Yeah.
Well, my friends would test me to say, well, how did you come up with that? And then I would show the methodology in
did you use all six dice at the same time?
Usually there were three dice. There were two. And we had different numbers on those. So we would so it wasn't just a regular dice. It was...
Where did you get the dice?
We had to make them.
You had them made?
Well, we would...
We
took regular dice and covered them with sure. tape and, yeah. You know, different numbers on those dice so
okay.
that when you shook,
okay.
shook them, you know.
Well, what would... Would you roll three?
Yeah, one was the tens dice and the other two were the... zero to ten. They would add up to zero.
So there's always a 10.
Yes. So
and then the other two were at random.
Yes. So you,
and I rolled a 1 and a 2. What did I do?
So then you'd look at the card to see if you rolled that number, what you would get. Is it a home run? Is it a single? Is it an out? Or, you know.
Did the cards have what they were on them? Like a home run or
yeah,
a triple?
Yeah, then the cards would have.
Did you alter the cards too then?
I made the cards,
okay.
know, based on the
that's why you're always right. You made
well,
<them.
laughs> and then I could show my friends. Well, this is the methodology that I used, and if you want to prove it out to make sure that I'm not gaming this for my benefit, and then we would make
was that
different
a
Hall of Fame players, you know, like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and, you know, all these players, so we could play these ancient teams against one another, you know, these baseball players of the past. And
well,
so it was kind of
did you entertain the idea of maybe going to a toy company and say, hey, here's a game that I made up?
We toyed around with that, but we just never pursued it. There were other games on the market that used similar concepts.
Okay.
And mine was a little bit different than theirs, but there were other. There's I think Stratomatic and APBA and Sports Illustrated all had their own versions of games, but I think mine were statistically accurate, and I'm not sure what methodologies they'd put into their games, but it was very, we spent a lot of time in our youth on, you know, playing those games, playing leagues, picking players. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would imagine. Did you ever play Jacks? Or are you too young for that?
No, I've played jacks, where it's a ball and you pick up the jacks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you ever play pickup sticks?
I have. I couldn't tell you how to play it today, but I remember that.
Well, just remember you got a bunch of spaghetti in your hand, and then just open your hand and they fall.
Okay.
And then you had pick them up without... doing something. I don't know. It came in a tube thing, and I
sure. Yeah, I remember we had the game. Yes.
The tube was really good to talking into because it had that echo. Hello, testing. Hey, maybe that's where I got into wanting to be a radio guy. Huh?
Yeah, maybe.
We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back. Our guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Fran Winchittle. He is the retired CFO for Rice County, and graduated from high school in 1979. We take this break and we'll be back in a flash and find out all about Rice County's cash. No, we're going to save that for a later date.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
Come on, name this tune, 1979. Number
it's Rod
three.
Stewart.
Yes, it is.
If you want my body,
something like
something
that. Do sexy. You think?
Do you think I'm sexy?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, you be the mathematician. I can't give you a full point. You got the performer, and you got the do you think. I mean, I gave you that. Mm-hmm. And then you did I'm sexy. So what percentage should I give you?
Maybe 33%.
No, I'd have given you 68%. It's 17 minutes before. It is 11 o'clock. Fran, I understand you didn't completely retire, and I don't want to go into detail, but I've heard that you still work part-time for Rice County in some position. I don't know what.
Well, Rice County's been so gracious as to enable me to help manage their portfolio. I was very involved in managing that portfolio through my career and have made a lot of connections with, in the banking community. And I've had some success in that area in looking at the top 20 largest counties, the top 20 largest cities in the state of Minnesota, and their portfolio performance over the last 5 years. Rice County has had the highest performing portfolio of all of them. And in fact, if Hennepin County would have earned the same rate of return that Rice County earned on its portfolio, they would have earned almost $100 million more.
Wow.
Over that 5 years, if they could have.
Yeah.
You know.
So I assume that you took all of this knowledge and used it for your own portfolio, and then you can afford to travel the world.
Well, I do the best I can. I've been putting more of my focus in my passion, and that's, you know, trying to manage Rice County's portfolio. But okay. I do all right.
Yeah, I don't want to get into your personal life,
sure.
but I would imagine that with the studying that you do, of course, the counties that you worked with had more money to invest, and so the numbers are going to be bigger.
Right.
But you would be aware and alert that this particular performance is excellent, and the minimal that you would want to invest, you could in those companies, and uh-huh. watch that minimal grow to the health of your family.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you went to St. John's, did you go to the football games?
Yes, I did.
Was that like a must?
They had a very excellent football team, a winning tradition there. John Gilardi is the division, he's the winningest most coach
in NCAA.
In college history. I knew him. My mom, my mother worked with his wife at the nursing home for a time, and I went to school with his daughter Gina, and so I knew Gina really well.
Do you run into a lot of Johnnies after you graduated in your other positions, including Rice County?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I run into a few Johnnies, you know, here in Northfield, and so it's amazing. How often or how coincidental, you know, you run into someone that you knew from college.
Back in when KYMN Radio was carrying Carleton College football, and then the playoffs began. And Carleton wouldn't be in it, but the big games would be St. John's, St. Thomas, whatever. I ran into several Johnnies, and I asked, would you support KYMN Radio if we sent our broadcast sports team to the St. John's to wherever they end up going? And I got several yeses. And I thought, well, if I dig this further, I bet I can find more Johnnies. I think Peter Schmitz was a Johnny, but Larry out in Dundas, Larry Anthony was a Johnny.
Yes, he was.
And I thought, well, I could find enough Johnnies. And let's say I found out you were a Johnny, I'd come up to you one-on-one on a personal basis, not this county of Rice County, but say, hey, friend, I need $100. We're going to go broadcast this game. I got to have at least two more. Will you support that? Would you have thrown in $100?
Probably.
Yeah. I thought so. And all these great thoughts, and what ends us up, WCCO picks up St. Thomas and does that Division III broadcast.
And I think St. John's has their own broadcast for their games.
Well, they had John, a guy from KYMN Radio, John Schroeder, and he did that. And he went from here to the St. Cloud radio station. And we would then, maybe I was going to punch into them, pay them to be able to carry their and create a network between St. Cloud and Northfield. I was going to get the game one way or the other. I just wanted to satisfy a question that I had from the 1980s that, yes, Johnny's would support it personally, you know, because Johnny's usually were off making a good living one way or the other. Well, mostly one way or the other. But anyhow, the pride in a Johnny is superb, as it is with the Oldies and the Knights.
And the Knights.
And you can go on and on.
Some very fine teams here
but,
and colleges.
How many friends do you think you have in your home life here in Northfield and your outreach to Faribault and other places where you are socially, professionally? How many Johnnies do you think are in that your site that you know that, I mean, is it a whole bunch of them?
I there for a while. I was going back to homecoming games pretty much on an annual basis. And I would see a lot of, you know, friends at those games that I graduated with, and those friends knew other Johnnies, and, you know, so the networking would continue. So I know quite a few people. I guess. It would be hard to put a number on it.
Yeah. Well, if you graduated from St. John's in 1973, did we come up with?
Or 83.
Excuse me, 83. Did you go to your 25th anniversary homecoming?
Yes, I did.
And how did that? Now, I'm familiar with the way Carleton does and St. Olaf does it. How does St. John's do it? And how was it your 10, 20, 25 homecoming? When did you start not being fun-loving guys and gals?
I don't know. I think the people that I hung around with are still
party boys.
Fun-loving, yes.
Okay.
So maybe a little bit less.
No,
on
is Johnny co-ed?
Yeah. Well, I had half my classes at St. Ben's.
Okay.
So there were buses that would go back and forth between the two campuses. So, I spent a lot of my time on the St. Ben's campus. So they're two separate colleges, but they coordinate a lot of academics.
So. Now, and so St. Ben's women would come over to St. John's and take classes.
Yeah, so they had half.
But their headquarters, as far as student housing, St. John's was all male, and St. Benedict's was all female.
Yeah.
Okay.
Predominantly, yeah.
But the colleges were co-ed.
Yeah.
And what kind of fun was that? What can you remember any incidents and fun things you did by you know, homecoming, bonfires, raiding the St. Ben's campus and playing pranks or anything?
Well, we got to know. We would have a sister floor on the other campus, so we would do activities with, my floor at St. John's would do activities with another floor at, on the St. Ben's campus, and we'd rotate the campuses, and there were, a lot of activities, on both campuses, with concerts or movies, we would get together and have a good time,
Did you meet Julie at St. Benedict's?
Julie actually is from Cold Spring, I met her. She did go to St. Ben's in her sophomore year, but she graduated from St. Cloud State. I met her when I was in college through a mutual friend, we ended up getting.
You met her. She was from Cold Spring, but
yes.
You met her in college.
I met her when I was in college.
You didn't know her from Cold Spring?
She was a friend of my sister's.
There you go. There you go.
So
there's the connection.
Yes.
So did you have your eyes on her the minute your sister introduced you to her?
Yes, I would say.
Yes, who did you go to the prom with in your senior year?
Senior year, I went by myself. My junior year
A
gal by the name of Nancy Evans.
You ever talked to Nancy?
I saw her at a 25-year reunion. I think she was down in Nebraska, living in Nebraska.
Well, I'm not trying to get into your personal life, but I do have to take a final break this hour.
Okay.
And we'll talk about, when we come back, we'll talk about what kind of diploma you had, what your plans were immediately after graduating, and when did you and Julie get married. We will be back in 58.8 seconds.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago.
So it must be kind of interesting.
Proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Hi, I'm Alyssa, director at the Vital Link Adult Day Center on the Three Links campus. Our program is for adults requiring care during the day and includes nutritious home-cooked meals, stimulating group activities, as well as outings to local attractions. Vital Link provides support to caregivers during the day. Transportation is available. Please call me at 664-8865 to schedule a tour or find out more at threelinks.org.
The genuine enthusiasm for helping people get fit is palpable at CrossFit Scopos in Dundas. Every coach brings their expertise along with their desire to help you be the best you can be. This is Terry Knight, and I've worked out in a lot of gyms and on my own, but the atmosphere provided at CrossFit Scopos in Dundas is nothing like I've ever experienced. I'm challenged and lifted up. I hope you'll take a moment to check them out and let Scopos help you change your life. Go to CrossFitScopos.com.
Name that tune, or the performers. It was number 9 in all of 1979.
Is it Styx?
Yes.
Okay. Believe or something.
It starts with a B. Think of Julie when you first met her through your sister.
Babe, I'm leaving.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, it's kind of fun to play it.
Name that tune.
So you go through St. John's. You're a math major. And
or actually accounting. I switched.
That's right.
You're
an accounting major. What did you think? Where were you going to go with an accounting major?
There were lots of opportunities in the accounting field because I think It was a very challenging major that not a lot of people pursued that. And
well, yeah, let me tell you that my Julie went to St. Catharines,
okay,
majored in accounting,
okay,
took the CPA test, and like most students, did not pass it the first time. And so I'm saying later after that, Julie, why aren't, are you going to go back and take the test again? You'll for sure pass it. She said, no, I'm not. And I said, you're going to pass up being a CPA? She said, yeah, I don't want to sit at behind a desk all my life. And I thought, well, okay. So she didn't. Anyhow, yeah, she's...
And I had a similar experience. I ended up sitting for the CPA exam. I did not pass it the first time, but I studied harder the next time. I thought, how hard could this state test be? And so I didn't study adequately.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time I ended up studying, and then I passed it. So I've been a CPA now since must be 1988, I think, is when I passed the test. Okay. So...
Well,
so 30 years.
The role you took was not taking care of individuals, but a community unto itself, with some nearly 50,000 citizens, Rice County.
65,000, yeah.
Is it up there to that? Yes. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. I know the sign says 20,007
yes.
for Northfield, and it was 5,000 when we built the station. And that did not include the students.
Okay.
And then in 1970 census, they had to include the students. Mm-hmm. So now did you then set out to get the position that you got, or did you think you were going to put up your shingle and have corporate and individuals come in and keep their books for them?
Well, after I ended up graduating from college, I ended up getting a job with the Office of the State Auditor. So Arnie Carlson was the auditor.
There's another connection.
Okay.
Arnie Carlson been on my show.
Has he?
And I've been in his company many, many times. As a matter of fact, I was at his inauguration, if that's what you call it. And he gave Julie and I, both of us, paperweight that's clear that says Arnie Carlson, so many the year and the date and which governor of state he was. Mm-hmm. So anyhow,
yeah. So he worked.
I like Arnie Carlson, by the way.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy.
He's not hardcore Republican.
He's a moderate.
Yeah,
probably. And so I worked for him for 5.5 years auditing. That was my first job out of college. I worked for the Office of the State Auditor auditing county government, mostly in central Minnesota. So I bought a house down in Elk River. We did a lot of the county audits around central Minnesota.
It is 11 o'clock, so we're going to have to bid farewell, but I do have one passing question,
okay.
And that is this. Did you... worked for Arnie when he was running against Paul Wellstone? Or did Paul challenge him after you worked for him?
I worked for him I got my first job in, it was 1983, and I worked until 1989. So that was when he was state auditor. I'm not sure if when Paul Wellstone ran against Arnie.
Well, take 12 from the time he died in that horrible plane crash, because he served two terms as senator.
Yeah.
So we're yeah, close. Yeah, we're close. If not just you did just before Paul Wellstone was, but it was listening to their debate conversations was really interesting. Really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you come back then?
Sure.
We'll talk about your being an independent at the state capitol, or rather working for the state at the state capitol, and the monies you handled.
Sure.
And then how you decided to run against whom I don't know for county CFO, and what your thoughts are about it not becoming an election, but an appointment, and what your thoughts were about that in regards to individualities.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ask those questions when you come back, all right?
All right. That sounds wonderful.
And we can even make the date today.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. I'll see you later.
All right. You take care.
Fran Winchittle, my guest on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial. And not only that,
95.1, the one station where you won't hear the same songs hour after hour.